If you have your Bible, I invite you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we're going to look at verse 23 through 34. There's some examples that was giving of just because that they were a privileged people in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they shouldn't take that as a permission to do what they wanted to do because God had blessed them. There are consequences to sin. There's consequences to our actions, and sometimes we can get overly confident. And he gave the nation of Israel as an example that we ought to look to, and we ought to use that. It was written for our admonition, the Bible says. And so we find here that Paul continues with one of the great themes that's found from about chapter number 8 through chapter 10 on Christian liberty. Some people refer to it the gray areas. And some people say the questionable areas in life, how should we react and how should we handle those things. He also, in Romans chapter 14, wrote very extensively. I encourage everybody to read Romans 14, and we'll look at a little bit of that tonight. But the Word of God gives us clear directions and everything that is vitally important, I promise you that. But also it says sometimes other Christian brothers may differ on us on some things, and it may vary from church to church, may vary from culture to culture. And if it's not a fundamental, is it not something absolutely certain, is nothing we can absolutely nail down, then we shouldn't judge one another, but rather be patient. And also we need to be conscious of where we're at, because what we may be doing may be offensive to those around us. And so I heard a story one time. And I think it was maybe Charles Wesley had stood up and preached, and there was a lady that was a perfectionist in the crowd, and she always had something to say to him afterwards. He knew, just kind of cut her down, and she come to him. She didn't like the way his tie was tied. He said that the strings were too long. And she, at the end, said, "Mr. Wesley, your tie is extremely offensive to me." He said, "Well, ma'am, what's the problem?" She said, it's too long down through here. And he grabbed a pair of scissors. And he said, "Ma'am, cut it to your liking." And she cut it. And she said, that's good. That's perfect. He said, "Ma'am, there's something about yours that's very offensive to me." And she said, "What's that?" He said, "It's your tongue. Stick it out so I can cut it off." Amen. And see, we ain't careful. We can always. And I'd be with him on that. I don't know if that story's true or not, but I've heard that. I've read that. And, you know, we ain't careful. We can always find something to be offended at. And honest truth, we live in a society this day, you can't say anything, you offend somebody. It's amazing to me. You can't play with somebody, you can't tell anybody the truth, or they get offended. Now, I agree, sometimes you can tell the truth in an offensive way, but sometimes you can just state the obvious truth. It still offends people. But we live during a time that everybody wants to be offended, and I agree we shouldn't be that way. And honestly, if we understood a little bit about Christian liberty, even in our own churches, sometimes we would be offended about a bunch of stuff. And so, true Christian liberty teaches us that there must be two extremes avoided. And I think that's what we find in his teaching. Very balanced about it. It makes us think. Verse 23, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." Not all things are good, but all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I may be allowed to do certain things, but some of those things I may be doing may not build up some people. It may injure them. That's his thoughts. "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." So we need to be constantly looking out for others, rather worried about what we can get, what we can have. "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles," that was the meat markets, for the meat that was sold to the idols in that day and to the pagan temples. He said, "Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, there is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, for conscience sake. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Bible. Thankful opportunity to study it. Help us to be better Christians, better servants, as a result of your words. And help us, God, love one another. God, help us to be patient with those that is not as mature in the faith. And God help us not to be lifted up because we think we know more either. We got to have a balance when we look at Scripture. But the most important thing is that we love our neighbor and we do everything for your honor and your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. I see two extremes. The idea that we must have a license to do anything. Almost we have to have a license in the name of Christian liberty. Have a license or a permission to do certain things. Or we have the idea sometimes that Christian liberty gives us a license to do anything. Both extremes are wrong. One idea is, well, you can do whatever. If you're a Christian, you've been set free from the bondage of sin. You can choose your own conscience, but you'll find here in the Scripture that Paul really pointed out several times in the book of 2 Corinthians that idols wrong, fornication's wrong, lying and cheating and all these things should not be named amongst the saints, and even through homosexuality in there too. He's pretty clear on some things, but there are some things in our own life, personal life, that I may choose for my family, that Brother Bob chooses differently for his family. Got news for you, it's not my business. And I shouldn't judge him in that matter, but I don't expect him to judge me in that matter as well. You see, the second extreme sometimes is that we want to be so governed by rules and regulations, we become fussy, and the truth is that we can't even live in the real world. I've seen some people, I mean, it's... old saying is, oh, lady must never wear makeup. And people say, what's your position, Brother Grant? My position is this, that I've seen before and after, and I'm for the after. Amen? That's a smart position, Brother Herbert. Amen. I'm just telling you. Get that. I'm not against it. Somebody don't want to wear it, that's their business. They want to, that's fine with me. Listen, I think that we have got to be wise in these matters in our own life. You see, we do have tremendous liberty in Christ. But Christians, I believe we shouldn't live our life just so we can use liberty that God has given us. Our liberty, whatever we may have in the Lord Jesus, is always limited to and restricted by love. Listen, a Christian's not pinned down by legality. He is not circumscribed by certain rules. Everything he does, he has to go back by these rules. I believe a lot of things we look back and say, this is a biblical principle, and I'm going to follow it. That's why I believe it's important that we teach our children to study Proverbs. And sometimes I think they're not getting it, but sometimes they do get it. Read a proverb a day. This morning I talked to Isaac, 7 o'clock this morning. Well, I said, read your proverb today. Read it.
Okay, Dad.
I don't know if he did or not. I'll ask him tonight. We'll see how that went. If not, I guess I'll read it to him, right? But why? Because decisions are based on principles, not necessarily rules. If you can get somebody to live by principles of the Word of God, you'll never go wrong. But there is not enough rules in this world to cover every area that you face in your life. But you can have some certain principles you live by, and you can guide yourself and navigate yourself through those things in a great way. You see, I say to you, listen, we most ought to be concerned about our influence in this life. Our Christian liberty is always limited by love, and I believe we need to be concerned about the effect of how we use our liberty, how that is going to affect other people. And so there is principles here that govern. And the first thing is one of expedience. You look in verse number 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Not all things are good. When he says all things, he's speaking in the restrictive sense. Look in chapter 6, verse number 12. He says here that all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Says it again. Says it twice. Must be important, right? When Jesus said verily, it was true. That's what verily means, true. When he said verily, verily, you know what that meant? He was saying, this is truth. This is truth. You better pay attention. When Paul said it twice, he very clear on what he was saying right here. He's speaking in a restrictive sense. Listen, he's speaking those matters that may be considered what some people call gray areas in their life. Things that may be considered questionable. He said, listen, all things are lawful, but not all things are good. Not everything's expedient. Not all things, they may be lawful for me, but not all things build up. On some matters, listen to me, maybe there's some options open to the believer, but the truth of the matter is that may not be the best choice, because your choice ought to be limited to what it does to your fellow believers or other people around you. And you'll find this toward the end of this chapter, that he says not only do we worry about our fellow believers that's in the church house, but he says, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Three people, the Jew, you don't want to offend them, you don't want to offend the lost, and you certainly don't want to offend the people in the church of God. So he was pretty clear on these matters. And so I believe we limit our choices in that. In verse 24, find this interesting. He said, let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. In other words, am I supposed to be trying to get rich my own? No, worry about everybody else getting wealth or riches. No, he's talking about every man's welfare. What he means, every man's welfare. Will my choice benefit the needs of other individuals? What I do with my life, will it benefit that? My choice, we got to put others first. Christ got to be first, others after that, then self can come in on third. But the truth of the matter is we live our life not thinking what's best for me, what's best for others. And so that's the thing. And that principle applies even to being a husband, being the head of the household. Men, it ain't about, well, I'm the man, bless God, I don't do what I want to do. Well, you can have an unhappy wife and have miserable children too. Because what you are, the head of the house, you make sure that you're putting their others first, right? It ain't about just you. That's what God's called you to. You think being the head's great and all that means you're the servant to everybody. Amen? And so that's what it means. And so Paul's saying he has freedom to do these things, but whatever those things may be, he don't enumerate everything. He does enumerate some, and it may shock people if they actually read and study. But listen to me, I want you to understand that sometimes because you may feel as though you have a right, don't mean it's the best thing to do. The welfare of others comes first. Verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. The welfare. And there's another principle. Not only see the principle, I believe this, of expedience, what is good, but the principle of edification. Does it build up? The Bible says all things are lawful in me, but all things are not expedient. Not all things are lawful in me, but all things edify not. Guess what? There's some things we do. If you do it, I do it. It ain't going to build up the work of God. It ain't going to encourage nobody. He's not going to be a blessing to anybody. Not everything we do in life is going to be a blessing. But some things that we can do and carry on in our own personal lives can destroy people and be a hindrance to them to coming to know the Lord. And Paul, he finishes up, he sums up, and that is his greatest concern right there. If what I do brings me to a place where, although I'm doing something I feel like I can do because I'm a Christian, but if I know it offends Brother Field, and Brother Field says, I'm going to quit, I ain't going to serve God no more if Brother Grant does that. But I better be careful, right? And I may be able to convince myself according to Scripture, but what does the Bible say? Well, let me give you this. There's another thing about conscience, and I believe that's another principle we've got to follow. Look in verse 25. He said, whatsoever sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. In other words, you go to the meat market, and you go to the shambles, and you buy it. It's cheaper. Maybe it's half price. Why is it half price? Because they had these pagan ceremonies, and this meat was sacrificed there to devils and to idols. Now, you got to understand, in that culture, they believe that demons possess the bodies of these animals, and it was transferable. If you ate it, you could get possessed with the demon that possessed this animal. Now, we know that's crazy. Now, I know Jesus cast the demoniac Gadara, the demons went in swine. They ran down, they all drowned, right? But you know what? If they all drowned, let me tell you, you could have fished any of them things out. I wouldn't have recommended that, amen. But you could have fished them out, and you could have cleaned them, and you could have ate them, and you wouldn't have got demon-possessed. But these animals were sacrificed in pagan worship. And some young believers felt like, because they come out of this paganism, that's everything, and they believed that these idols somehow were living inside the bodies of these animals, and if they ate them, that somehow they'd be possessed by these demons. That was like, no, no, don't do that, don't do that. But Paul knew they're animals. It's half-price meat. I mean, you can buy a steak, and it'd be $6 a pound, or you can buy it for $2 a pound there. You know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go where it's $2 a pound. Don't violate my conscience. It wouldn't violate my conscience. I just eat it, amen? Throw it on the grill, say, God bless it, and here we go. Throw some A1 on there if it was a little tough. But all listen, he said, let no man see. But whatsoever sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question of conscience, say. So it's about your conscience. While it is wrong to go to a heathen feast and participate in it, and it's idolatrous worship, and he deals with this in this chapter. Don't think you can get away with that. Don't say that's Christian liberty to go. Listen, I don't have the liberty to go worship with a bunch of Muslims. I just don't. Amen. Don't look at me all funny. I don't have there's a lot of things I don't have liberty to do. So we find not only that, but maybe in personal life. But he says, if he goes on and says it goes beyond this. If you eat in the home of someone who's an unbeliever, you go ahead and eat. Don't ask no questions. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, notice they're unbelievers, and you've been supposed to go whatsoever set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. Best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. Because guess what? Some unbelievers maybe think, well, maybe a Christian shouldn't eat this. Right? And they say, eat it. And they're like, oh, wait. Or maybe they think, well, what's wrong with him? Why would he not eat this? Isn't he kind of weird? That don't make sense to me. I ain't going to listen to him. He's a weirdo. And so, but then verse 28 says, but if any man sin to you, there is offered and sacrifice unto idols. You know what? Somebody goes with you and says, I know this meat come out of the shambles, brother. We better eat this. We will get contaminated by demons. God wouldn't be happy with us eating that meat. Paul said, so I know that it's okay to do that, but I'm not going to eat this meat because it's going to offend my brother. I had an uncle that was Seventh-day Adventist. He about drove us all crazy. Everything we did, every dinner, and I bet you use pork, and I bet you use this, and I bet you use that, and I bet that. And my aunt made special food for him just so he would come to family gatherings and so forth and eat. And he was convinced one time we tricked him and used lard in the pinto beans. We didn't, but he's convinced we did, and that's all right. Then finally he suddenly turned into a Baptist. He quit arguing with me after years. He followed everything in the world. He'd been Jehovah's Witness, followed some faith healer, followed Seventh-day Adventist, and he followed some miracle guy one time that went to prison selling miracle water, and now he's I guess he's come a long way. Amen. It's like Virginia Slims, okay? Some of you won't remember that, but he's come a long way. And so but I tell you what I did. My family would aggravate him, and I was a young Christian. I'd read enough Bible as this. I wouldn't go in and say, hey, Uncle, you want to go get you a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich? I wouldn't do that. Because it was offensive to him. We need to be conscious. You know what? There's some Baptists I know won't eat pork. Amazing. There's some people I know in Jill's family. Ain't nobody in my family I know of. They brought out a tofu turkey. I looked at it, I couldn't eat it. That was offensive to me. But I didn't offer them because they're vegans. I didn't offer them. I said, hey, wouldn't you rather have this? I just looked at that and said, thank God. I'm getting the real stuff. Amen. That's what I was thinking. But I didn't argue with them and try to embarrass them. Well, you do. You respect people. And let me tell you something. As Christians, we ought to be kind to people always and respect them. You may not agree with them, but it ain't going to hurt you. I've learned this. I don't have to prove everybody wrong or prove that I'm right about everything. Now, I like to. I like being right, don't you? I like winning an argument. That's not the best way to go. And so, if you're at home of an unbeliever, don't ask no question. If weaker brother's with you, guess what? He asks or he knows. Don't eat for whose sake? Your conscience sake? No, his sake. So, we got to be guided by that. And here's another thing. I believe it's a principle of thanksgiving. Look at verse 29. The Bible says this. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? In other words, you're being condemned because of another man's conscience. Why would you put yourself in a position where someone's going to condemn you because you're using your liberty? You think this is okay for me to do. But another man's conscience said no, and he condemns you. He says, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Now notice this, for I by grace here. You see that in verse number 29. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And the answer is found in verse number 30. For if I by grace. That word grace in the Greek here is charis. And you say, what does that mean? It's used here in the sense of thanksgiving. So why do we say charis or why do we say grace when we eat? Because we are giving thanks. That's what's happening. We're giving thanks. And so he's saying, as you look here, for if I by grace or if I by thanksgiving partake, and then I'm considered evil for doing this by somebody else, that's really counterproductive. I really need to think about this. When I say grace before meal, so if I'm going to do something, my conscience will bother me, but it's going to cause me to be evil, someone speak evil of me or someone to condemn me, probably shouldn't partake in it. Shouldn't indulge in it, and I shouldn't enjoy that. And so, verse number 31, he said, "For if I by grace be partaker in evil spoken of for thy sakes, and I give thanks." The admonition is whatever we do, we need to do it for the glory of God. He said, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we need to be conscious of that everything. And here's the greatest reason we do all this. The principle here. Why do we do these things? That we might win others. We try to be careful not to be offensive to people. Just don't jump in there and do it. And have you ever done something, been somewhere, and you did something you didn't realize was offensive to somebody? I've done it. It wasn't offensive in my household, but it might be offensive to another household. It wasn't offensive maybe here, but you go overseas, it'd be extremely offensive there. And those things have happened, and you feel a little embarrassed. You didn't mean to offend somebody, but you did. I remember when Furlong Usher stayed with us, we had Andrew. Jill was really pregnant. He'd come in, he was staying with us. We had Andrew. I mean, I feel like I won a bass fishing competition. He was 10 pounds, 13 ounces. The first thing that I done is run out and bought cigars. Says, "It's a boy." Him and John Gilmore were at the house. He comes through, and I come running. I give him two cigars. I might as well handle him a bottle of Wild Turkey. I said, "It's a boy." Because he would probably have been less offended. Because he was from Belize. They were highly offended by that. People around here are not. You wouldn't. I don't think many people here would be offended if I handed you a cigar. They said, "It's a boy. You probably weren't going to smoke it anyway. Probably like me, got a drawer full of them somewhere." Amen. And listen, if you did, I wouldn't be offended by it. But that's what, boy, I'm telling you, I felt bad. John said, when I handed it to him. I didn't know. Then John had to explain. That's just a culture thing here. He's like, "Oh, okay. But he's like, what have I got myself into? He's my sponsoring pastor, passing out cigars. Terrible. So there's three groups. Look in verse 32. "Give none offense, neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor the church of God." Don't do it. That, three groups. Whatever we do, whether it be in public ministry or public lives, personal lives, should not be something that would hinder the work of Christ. And sometimes you do things to offend people you can't abstain from. Am I right? Can't help it. Just going to happen. Some people are easily offended, and I can't tiptoe through the tulips for everybody, and you can't either. Right? I'd rather stroll through the tulips, and I'd rather say, "Hey, you know, I try to stay on the path. Whatever. I don't want to make you mad. Sorry I got in your yard. I should have stayed on the sidewalk." You know, kind of thing. Some people just get bent out of shape over everything. You can't. It's going to happen. But to deliberately do it on purpose and not care if you offend someone, that's wrong. That's just totally wrong. And so why should I go about? Why should I do this? We need to watch our own life. Listen, the Bible says, "Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved." Also, I'm not looking out for self. I'm not trying to say, "Yes, God, I can do this." But if what I'm doing is hindering people getting saved, I don't want to be doing that. I don't want my life to be a stumbling block, people coming to know the Lord. And I'll close with this tonight. And I appreciate your patience in the study of God's Word. Romans 14, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way." So, he's warning us here. We need to be careful that we don't do things. We don't need to be looking at people and say, "Man, they're not." If they just knew as much of the Bible, they wouldn't be offended by this. If they wasn't such a weaker brother. No, he's saying, don't look at it like that. Don't do something to cause them to stumble. "I know and am persuaded by the Lord," in verse 14, Jesus, "there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean," guess what? It is unclean. If it violates your conscience, don't do it. Period. He said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not for meat whom Christ died. It ain't worth the fight. Let then not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the righteousness and peace and joy that's in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and all things wherewith one may what? Edify or build up one another. That's the chief goal. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Now, I believe the application goes beyond just meat offered to idols. I do. I believe it goes in a lot of areas. From deceit, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor any other thing whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. In other words, you allow something in your life and you're not condemned. Listen, we better be careful because we can become a hindrance to other people for the glory of God. And so you say, well, you're saying, I believe there's times, let me give you three things, I'm done. That's my introduction, here's a message, but our message will be real short, okay? Three things. Somebody got nervous in, I said, that's the introduction. But here's a message, three things I believe we need to be in mindful all the time. There are times that we should voluntarily limit or just prohibit in our own life that God may consider a liberty for us to have for the sake of others. Secondly, in matters of personal conscience, we should not judge one another. The Bible makes that very clear here. There are certain things very clear. He lays out, is absolutely, emphatically, stay away from it. Don't do it. Everybody does this. Have their part in the lake of fire. Absolutely. But we've got to look at it from the Bible being our final authority. We need to ask ourselves from time to time, are we doing anything in our own life that may personally hinder them from coming to Christ? Are we doing anything in our own life that we may need to limit that others may grow and be built up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? It may be actions, it may be attitudes, it may be habits in our own life, but every single one of us needs to live here with the mindset, Christ first, others second. Pretty simple, is it not? Simple principles. And I believe if we do that, God will be honored. And God will be glorified through Mount Hebron Baptist Church. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to stand and to teach. And I know, Lord, that sometimes some of these themes seem like they're mentioned over and over again, and they can become laborious to get through. But God, I do know this, that these principles are here. And Lord, you repeated them over and over that we might pay attention. Because sometimes I read and I don't catch it the first time. Sometimes I read it again and I don't catch it. But the third time, I'm like, I need to back up and do this thing again. Because you're trying to speak to me about this. And God, help us all to be kind. Help us to have the right attitude, the right frame of mind with everything we do. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing. We'll sing a verse.